Into your dreams. Poncho was a bandit voice. His horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants for all the honest world to feel. Poncho met his match, you know, in the deserts down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words.
Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network right here in North Central Indiana in the bunker transmitting to the world. Yeah, right here, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern where the elite meet to drink and sometimes eat. And that's right behind our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard where all summer we're selling all kinds of weapons of mass destruction. Some really big stuff. We bring them in here from all over the world. We buy them for 10 cents on the dollar after they have these little revolutions around the world. We pound them out, paint them up, get the dents out of them, put white sidewalls on some of the trucks and mud flaps with lights on them, and, man, we fix them up. Then people come in here on a weekend with their 18-wheelers from all over the country and buy these things. First, they got to go into the Terrible Tommy's Tavern, have a few drinks, and then we get them out there and sell them that stuff. Yep, and also in the summertime, we have the elephant and the giraffe, and I think we got a zebra coming next spring. So make sure you... I'm not sure when opening day for the sales are going to be this next year. Depends on the weather. But we're closed down for the winter, but we got them. We're out there in a big barn refurbishing all these weapons of mass destruction. We just brought a load in here from South America, man. They're always having a big scuffle down there, so we go down there after it's over, and we give them 10 cents on the dollar, bring them on up here, and you can get good deals on this stuff, yeah. Not too good a gas mileage. And I'll tell you what we're offering, we've been offering the last few months is, we'll put whatever decal you want on the side of your weapons of mass destruction, the kind that are on tank tracks or tires, trucks and stuff and tanks. You can get a, SWA sticker put on the side or a KKK sign or, creator sign. You can put a commie sign with Hammer's sickle on there if you want. And even you can put an elephant symbol on there for the Republicrats, and you can put a donkey on there for an ass for the Democrats, and we do that free for you. So we throw that in, okay? All right. So call our hot number and leave your information and rant and rave. That's 574-267-5036, running 24 hours a day. And we're trying to get a better number for that, one that's more significant. We're working on it. People call in there and rant and rave, and some of that stuff we even put on our radio show. Yeah. So anyhow, and send all your mail to P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And you can address it to Box Holder or Tom Metzger or the Insurgent, however you want to do it. And then when you want goodies, you go up email, well, you go first to resist.com, the biggest, big website, the most radical, the most offensive website, racist in on the internet, man. And you, if there's anything you want to purchase up there, well, you just email merchandiseresist.com. That's merchandiseresist.com. And tell them what you're interested in, and you send them, send a duplicate of your order to me here at Box 401, and the other order, what you're asking for, to resist.com, or like I say, merchandiseresist@yahoo.com. I'm sorry, and you'll get it taken care of. And we have these new paranoid news that's being put together by Wolf DC. Quite a number of people have ordered those. We have five issues, I guess it is now. And if you want to send $10 in, we'll send you all five of them. You know, that's a good deal because he tells you how to keep out of the clutches of the man. Yeah, out of the clutches of the man. And we're making some new Ghost Wolf Wolfman radio shows too. So Michael Myers, you know, remember Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis? Hoo hoo hoo. Yeah, so he's back in the saddle again, Michael Myers, alias, well, we won't go into alias. And let's see now, I got a nice Christmas card from Richard Scutari today. I don't have it right here in front of me, but I'll show you later on the television thing. So go up to podblank.com while I'm doing this intro. We're actually being televised up on podblank.com. Been on all day. We play a lot of music, a lot of country music, a lot of bluegrass music and other kinds of music all day long, and sometimes we get on there and talk. So I got to split my day up a little bit there and do a little honey-do and then get on the camera here and talk to the boys. So that's it, and here comes today. We got a great show with Ghost Wolf DC. Wolf DC is back, and he is going to tell you how to stay out of the clutches of the man and achieve some very fine radical success. Here we go.
This is Lone Wolf DC, and this is the Insurgent Radio Program. I'm your guest host for the day, Lone Wolf DC, yes. And here is an interesting thing out of the news, December 2nd, 2009. Pittsburgh. A local artist writes 620 letters to literally everyone in a town. Now, you would think that this would be a nice thing to do. So, oh, somebody wrote me a letter. These people are complaining. How about that? Crow and Clayton, both 32, say they want to write everyone in the world. In April, the pair wrote 467 letters to homes and businesses in Kundishal. This time, it's Polish Hill. Okay, they picked Polish Hill because they happened to be in Pittsburgh at the time and felt the size of the neighborhood suited their needs. It was small enough for them to actually literally write to everyone. Well, Crow lives in London, and Clayton is from England, but moved to Pittsburgh in September after her husband decided that's the place he wanted to live. The artist hoped the letters would prompt curiosity and chatter among residents. Oh, and they certainly did. The Polish Hill Civic Association was flooded with people asking about why they received a letter. Polish Hill was settled by, as you would imagine, Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, steelworkers. The neighborhood is about half Polish, and many of its residents are elderly, but is now home to these new artists. And he signs all his letters tent, and some residents were put off. Quote, one elderly woman was terrified because her letters implied the writers would pay her a visit. Okay, so another resident received a letter saying how nice she and her husband were, but it turns out her husband actually died, and that made the woman uncomfortable. Oh, man. Quote, they really have a fantastic idea, and it's really beautiful, but I think they could have spared a bit more of thought about how it might come across, Clegg said. Now, this is absurd. You know, this is why the vast majority of people, if you can't handle getting a fucking letter in the mail by one of your neighbors, fuck you. There's no other way to say it. They want to complain about getting a letter. Let's see. We're quote, we're well aware not everyone has loved the letters, but we're also happy that the neighbors chat about how awful the letters are and so get together over a lovely old moan. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Anna Misezek, who runs Alfred's Deli Plus with her husband, said the letter arrived at their shop, and it seemed silly. It read, next time someone tries to bamboozle you with a cup and ball trick on holiday at a city bus station, always choose the cup on the right. And Ms. Jack said, this is something crazy. I treat this like a joke. She initially tore up the letter and threw it in the trash, but later retrieved it when she was told it was an art project. Isaac Bower, a sculptor, called it artsy goofy. I thought they were pretentiously trying to be mysterious. Let's see. Crow and Clayton spent 10 hours a day for 2 weeks writing the letters. 70 letters a day. Wow. Quote, it's an absolute pleasure and absolutely difficult to do. Well, I mean, they wrote individual letters to all these people. It's not like they mass-produced something. They sat down and wrote 700 letters. Wow. One guy suggested the IRA should bomb us. Isn't that nice? Others spoke about how magical it was to walk around town asking if they got the letters because of the project. These artists are now on first-name terms with several neighbors. Well, you know what? This is just more proof that most people are pieces of shit, and this is why recruiting the masses is a problem. If you can't be happy that somebody wrote you a letter at Christmas time, then, you know, you're a douche. There's no other way to say it. Now, here's something interesting. I was looking on the Internet, And you know how everyone's worried about gun control? Well, you know what? As of today, I am no longer worried about gun control. And I'm sure you guys are thinking I've lost my mind. Well, after going through YouTube, okay, you know that website where everyone can put up a little video, I've seen so many homemade flamethrowers that were good. I mean, they didn't suck, they were good. And, you know, the guys show how they built it. It's not real hard. All they did was they imitated the military technique of just taking fuel. In this case, it was unleaded gasoline. I've seen other guys use alcohol, ethanol, denatured ethanol, so it's cheap. You don't pay the taxes on it. And they took a nitrogen tank and pressurized it with some nitrogen. Another guy did it with argon. And I think that's only to keep the tank safe in the event it ruptures or something. And these guys were shooting out, you know, fireballs, you know, streams of flame, and it was good. I mean, it worked just fine. Even guys with super soakers, which are a very good quality water gun, they were able to have a very small water gun that you have to pump up like 10 or 15 times to get some good pressure, and they had a pilot light in front of it, and they were probably shooting alcohol. I don't know for sure. You know, you got to be careful. It's plastic. You don't want to have the wrong thing, you know, eat it. But I think they're using alcohol, and I'm pretty sure that's, you know, safe for prolonged use. And it's got some other parts inside, you know. And these guys were shooting fireballs, and they were good. I mean, it was like, wow. And it was small, compact, and you know what? I know a lot of guys wear bulletproof vests. Are they going to start wearing flame suits too? I mean, can you imagine getting ambushed with that? Somebody doesn't pull a 38 on you, all of a sudden somebody pulls out a fucking flamethrower and lights you up with that. I think I might rather get shot. And they were good quality, homemade, and I've seen some you know, the shitty end of the scale with just a good water pistol. Worked okay. I mean, it shot a good 12 feet, I think, with just like a little homemade flame, you know, homemade deal. And I think the guys using professional stuff were getting, well, more professional, still homemade, but out of the high-quality materials dedicated, you know, made just to be a flamethrower. I think these guys were getting 35 feet, but it's hard to tell because, you know, there's no sense of scale on these videos. You know, you can just see how tall a guy is, and the guys say, well, that's four times his length. That's at least 24, you know, feet is the only way I can kind of gauge distance in these videos. But these guys are putting out some respectable fireballs. And, you know, a firearm, right? Let's just say all the guns are gone, right? And you're like, oh, damn. Now I got to make some ammunition. Now I got to make a rifle. And then I got to do this. And I got to do that. And you know what? That'd be hard as hell to sit there and make your own equipment. And don't get me wrong, you can absolutely do it. But, man, talk about hard work and, you know, being dedicated to making it out of nothing, right? At least a good one. You know, like, making AK from nothing is going to be a little bit of a project. I bet you could do it if you really sat down on it, though. But it looks like within an evening, these guys had kick-ass flamethrowers. And in my opinion, I think a flamethrower is a little bit scarier. And you know what? The best part is if you go zap somebody with that flamethrower that has a firearm, that firearm's obviously going to be all metal. You know what? Firearm's probably going to survive the torching. And so after it cools off, you know, don't want to burn your hand, you just walk up to that crispy critter, and there you go. You got yourself a very nice handgun. And I bet that would scare the shit out of the Zog if that became the thing to do. If all of a sudden guns were banned and people were running around with flamethrowers, which are totally realistic, you know, to make. I really want you guys to go on YouTube. That's right. Go on YouTube right now and look at some of these guys with homemade flamethrowers. You'll know the better ones from the bullshit ones. And look how easy it is. You know, I thought this would be dangerous. Guys would blow themselves up and all that kind of shit. Apparently not. They're able to reasonably safely handle this shit. And they just put a valve on a high-pressure tank and a hose, and they're rocking and rolling. Now, don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure that the ATF actually doesn't regulate flamethrowers. I was looking on Wikipedia, And, you know, they're saying, I don't know that's true, so don't run out and do this and say, I told you to, that, yeah, ATF has no rules on flamethrowers whatsoever, and you have to look at guidance from the several states, and that in states like Nevada, apparently a lot of states, they're 100% legal. I don't know where the hell you're going to buy one, but I don't see any rules banning possession. Now, the fire code comes into play heavily, obviously, when you're working with fire, and I'm sure it's going to be extremely particular on when and where and all that kind of stuff, and what targets you can shoot and not constitute arson. But that's a very interesting thing. Now, of course, you know, flamethrowers are dangerous to play with, but I just want to put that in the back of everybody's mind as an answer to gun control. You know, well, what happens? Well, yeah, we'll just ban all the guns, and then we're going to stop all the violence. No, you're not, because I'm going to build a fucking flamethrower, and that's 10 times worse. So how you like them apples? And you know what? I bet that will shock the liberals and say, yep, yeah, I agree. You know, making a handgun from scratch, make the barrel, make the frame, make the slide, all that stuff, oh, that's real hard. We're just going to use flamethrowers instead. Oh, and I watched that Ninja Assassin movie that just came out. Well, aptly named Ninja Assassin. That movie was excellent. I mean, wonderful. They take these kids. I'll try not to ruin it too much for you guys. At the very young ages of, you know, infant on a, well, maybe even 5 years old or whatever, and they teach these kids how to be no bullshit ninjas. And it's special forces training, and you've got 10-year-olds in full combat. I mean, you know, you got these kids fighting other kids, right, one-on-one, in the fucking octagon. I mean, it's just like MMA. I mean, you know, it's totally full contact, very limited rules, and these kids, every time they fail, they get a scar. So all their bodies have these scars on them. And the sensei makes the winner take this knife and cut a mark on the loser. And it is absolutely wild. And you know what? I would not be surprised if this was sort of how the ninja were back in the day. I don't know that they go marking their bodies up with scars, but I've seen Asian folks do some crazy stuff when it comes to those full body tattoos, where it looks like they're wearing clothing. You know, it's like they make a jacket that, you know, obviously can't come off because it's nothing but tattoos. There's a name for that, I forget it. But this movie is wild, and they take on the CIA, and they make a pretty good showing. They're like these CIA hit squads that they repeatedly beat throughout the movie because they always fight at night, and they you know, have ambushes set up, and they use all old-fashioned weapons. It's nothing but swords and shurikens and, you know, old-school stuff. And I think it's neat, and that these ninja assassins would kill anyone for a pound of gold. That's a whole lot of gold. So it was all really high-level assassinations. That's how it got to the CIA's attention. And they, you know, had this... the attendant in the bathroom all of a sudden pull out this very small knife, right? And he stabbed this guy right in the side of the neck. And, you know, it's a really big, huge guy, and he starts fighting this ninja, right? Well, this ninja is getting all these, like, tech, you know, he's almost like a technician, getting these very particular organs hit. Right? So he starts out and he sticks the guy in the neck. That's not enough. This guy is fucking huge. And then he goes and gets him in the upper arm. And he also gets some in his thigh. And he's getting, and there's blood going everywhere. And when I say everywhere, I mean everywhere. It's like coming out like rain. And he's getting all these guys major, what do you call, arteries, right? So this guy's bleeding to death the whole time. And it takes maybe 2 minutes of fighting for this guy to bleed out. And this ninja is, you know, kind of getting knocked around a little bit, but it's okay because the guy that's hitting the ninja isn't getting any of these life-threatening injuries on him. He's just, you know, punching him and stuff. And, you know, the ninja just almost like has to ride the bull for, you know, 60 seconds, right? And he just lets him bleed out, and then he brings the watch back to his sensei as proof that he did the hit. And it's just great. You guys have to see it. They've got women ninja, guy ninjas, and they have this one ninja that he didn't like the way it was, and he didn't want to have to do murders because these guys weren't given an option. If you were an orphan and these guys picked you up, you did it, and that was it. And if you didn't, they just killed you. And they had kids killing kids for, you know, dishonoring the clan type stuff. You know, one guy wasn't apparently a very good student, so they kill him. And they make one of the other kids stab him right in the heart with a sword. It's just amazing. You guys have to see it. I can't ruin it for you. It is the best movie going out there. And I also saw the movie 2012, and that was a hell of a movie. It, you know what? It shows the truth. If you have enough money, you can buy your way out of trouble at the end of the world. And in this movie, it's like a massive flood and earthquake type thing. And, you know, the safe place to be during all this is in an airplane. And they all fly to this country. It's actually China. And they get in these special boats that are almost like really, really, really big submarines. So they're designed so that when water comes over the top of them, you know, won't hurt it or anything, right? And it shows the government reasonably accurately how they tell you everything is fine, don't do anything, don't panic, we've got everything under control. And, you know, the whole government's evacuating, the president's running, the congressmen are getting in their little airplanes, and they're all getting to safety, while you dummy Americans are sitting there ready to get your world rocked. You know, all the politicians are preserving themselves, you know, whispering on the phone, honey, now's a good time to go visit your grandmother in New Jersey and, you know, get out of California, where the troubles start. Oh, it's funny, guys. And the Chinese are selling these passes, and they're for insane amounts of money. I think a guy bought one for $500 million, or, I think it was another one bought one for 100 million euros. Not 100 million. No, 100 million euros, something like that. And the Chinese were helping these people, and they thought that they had a pass, and when it turns out that they didn't, you know, they pulled a gun on them, and, you know, they said, no, you know, we're not going to help you. It was amazing. There are these poor people that were workers there, and the workers thought they were going to be helped too, right, that they were going to get to ride the ship, and then they wouldn't. They closed the doors on the workers so that they couldn't come aboard. These fat cats had all the room on their ship and food and everything, and they didn't want to help the workers. That's right, guys. You know, don't think that, you know, somebody's going to treat you fair just because you work there. These rich guys, and they have these long, drawn-out arguments with this, you know, chief scientist, right? He's for the people. And he's saying, hey, we've got plenty of time. We've got 15 minutes to get all these people in. We've got room. Why are you going to let them all die? And then the guy's sitting there saying, look, it's just the way it is, and we need to have a certain amount of room here. We're not going to have crowded conditions. But all those, you know, 100 million people are going to die, or not 100 million, 100,000 people are going to die, or whatever number it was. And he says, well, that's their problem. So in the end, they overcrowded a bit, you know, they have it kind of packed, and then the movie cuts off showing them going to Africa. Africa is the first country that is not covered by water after the disaster. And, you know, oh, hey, Africa would be a great place if all the niggers are fucking gone. And trust me, guys, all the niggers were gone. It was a lot of Chinese and then just some, you know, and the rest of the people were random. They're all rich people, you know, Saudi oil sheikhs and all this kind of stuff. And I thought it was a really neat movie. You guys should go see it. And it'll make you distrust the government even more. And I know you guys distrust the government pretty good already. Well, it looks like everybody wants to talk about Black Jesus, a.k.a. Tiger Woods. Let's play the clip.
Us Weekly got this voicemail from Jamie Grubbs, who says Tiger Woods left it for her days before Thanksgiving. Listen.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Can you please take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and maybe call you. So if you can, please take your name off that. And, just have it as a number on the voicemail. Just have it as your telephone number. That's it. Okay, you gotta do this for me. Dude, quickly. Alright, bye.
Okay, I was told, I've been told that we haven't confirmed that that is in fact Tiger Woods. We
right.
don't know that's, for sure.
You would think if they were dating, he wouldn't say, you know,
he didn't
hi,
say
Tiger.
Hi, it's Tiger.
Yeah, right.
He didn't do that.
Certainly they weren't close.
Well, yeah. Well, remember, because our story came out, we posted part of the story online today, and, you know, he's been silent for a whole week about this, all through the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And when we posted the story online with a voicemail, hours later, that's when he finally came out with a statement apologizing for his personal sins and his transgressions.
He must have realized I have to say something at this point.
But why would he do that voicemail knowing that that could come out?
It was 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you know,
yeah.
This was before anyone had heard of this Rachel girl, of Kalika, mm-hmm. of Jamie, and they're all coming out of the woodwork now. But I think, you know, the real fact was that he knew his wife had found out.
Yeah.
His wife found out. He was doing damage control.
Well, take a look at one of the 300 text messages that Jamie Grubb says she had with Tiger Woods. She says, he writes, send me something very naughty. Go to the bathroom and take a picture. Of what? The toilet? What does that mean? I don't even
take a picture of yourself, I think.
But just take a picture. No, it just says go to the bathroom and take a picture.
Of her. Of herself.
Of her in the bathroom? Yeah. Why not the bathroom?
Doing something.
Why
the
bathroom? There's something strange about that.
I know. Why the bathroom?
Maybe they had a special moment in the bathroom.
That makes
him sound a little pervy, doesn't it?
It does, and it's a pity because he has such a great image, and to see it tarnished in this way is really sad.
Now, as you know, Tiger Woods has actually come out since that clip was aired on the Joy Behr show and admitted that it was the case that he was screwing around and he asked for privacy and that sort of thing. I give him credit for clamming up. He's using the celebrity equivalent of 5 words. You know, it's a private matter. I don't wish to discuss it. And ignoring it. And I don't think he could really do worse. And his sponsors are sticking by him, Nike and the couple other sponsors he has. Well, I suppose that's good news for him. The first thing I kind of say is, why do people hold celebrities and these athletes up as role models? Come on, people. They're not there for that, all right? This is a nigger who hits a ball with a stick really well. That's what he's there for. All right, if you want your kid to learn how to hit a ball with a stick, have him go look at Tiger Woods. But when it comes to things outside of his specialty, I wouldn't be impressed. Do we really want to hear Tiger Woods' opinion on religion? Is he some religious authority? No, that's absurd. Is he a great artist? Should he be critiquing Da Vinci? Probably not. Okay, he hits a ball with a stick. Okay, now everybody, let's move on. Who the hell cares? Nobody cares. I don't care. I don't think anybody does. They just want some juicy gossip because these old crones always love to yak about something. Blah, 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 you know. And I think it's absurd. And the TV loves to drag somebody through the mud, so they're dragging this mud through the mud. It's funny. So anyway, let's look at what he did wrong. Okay, cheating on your wife, as far as I'm concerned, that's not what he did wrong. Cheating on his wife poorly, how dare he? Well, obviously, this guy needed to have a disposable cell phone only. And he needed to make sure his wife got nowhere near it. and he needs to not use voicemail at all. If he can disable the voicemail, that'd be even better. You know, when you get a track phone and you don't set it up, you actually can't use it, right? It just, when you call a number that hasn't been set up, it'll say, voicemail has not been established for this account, goodbye. And it's great, so don't allow voicemail in your account because you can have shit like this. I mean, can you imagine somebody dumb enough to voluntarily have their voice recorded admitting they're doing something naughty? Not cool, people. And he needs to have this woman have a cell phone also. And you know what? It'd be best if they had these two cell phones that just call each other and all they have is this and like that's it. No other communications mediums. And, you know, they probably would have been, you know, pretty safe about how they were conducting their little cheating and stuff. Now, Tiger was asking her for pictures. Now, this radio show, TV show host, Joy Bear, she's trying to turn it into something like, send me a picture of you taking a shit, something weirdo, and I really doubt that. And, you know, I think that's really intellectually dishonest, because, you know, come on, I think we all know that you slip in the bathroom because you can take your shirt off and nobody's going to fucking look at you. What, you're going to run around the kitchen topless? Yeah, nobody's going to notice that. So, yeah, come the fuck on. Yeah, you excuse yourself to the bathroom, lift your shirt up, you know, show them some boobs, and like that. But I don't think you should have had anything like that. That would be, as far as I'm concerned, incriminating evidence. Even on this phone he's got, he has no real need for this girl's titties to be on there. And in the event that his phone gets captured or lost or whatever, you know, you don't want it being a hot potato. You know, if he loses the phone or falls out or whatever, not a big deal. Now, if it's full of text messages, okay, written proof that stays on your billing records forever, okay, text messaging is awful. Never, ever text anyone, period. I wish I could disinvent that, you know, because it's in your billing records, guys. That shit never goes away. It would be a whole lot safer for Tiger Woods if he talked to her on the phone and didn't leave any voicemails, you know, kind of like a no-trace thing. And as a practical matter, one of the women he was screwing around with was a lowly waitress. And you know she's going to flip on you the first chance she gets. You know, it is an extremely rich guy with a poor girl. And you know what? There's going to be some serious temptation to go over to one of those tabloid magazines and say, hey, I've got the goods on them. I've got a picture of me screwing him. I got a secret sex tape. I mean, can you imagine the kind of money they would pay if I called up the news right now and said, I have the sex tape? One of those little, well, the Globe, I think it's one of those scummy newspapers. You know, I almost want to call them up and ask them what they would pay if I had a very obviously authentic sex tape of him and some slut having sex. And you know what? I bet I'd, you know, walk out of that place with 50 grand or better. And I'm sure the guy would be salivating, the Jew, who I'd be calling, would be salivating over the phone. I might even have to hold the phone away from my ear. I don't want to get a wet willy. So it's funny how everybody likes to hold these guys up. They put their pants on one leg at a time, and, you know, it's like dealing with feds, right? Everyone makes them want to make them out to be Superman. They put their pants on one leg at a time. Now, Lone Wolf DC has many admirers. Not quite. Get a lot of hate mail. Well, let's look at one of them from one anonymous listener. Lone Wolf DC says on the December 4th show that Family Guy is, quote, a hell of a show, end quote. And it is funny. Family Guy is not a good show. It is Jewish filth. I love good films, but I got rid of my television years ago because of shit like Family Guy. I do not think any white person should be promoting a show like Family Guy. I come to resist.com to get away from that crap, and I definitely do not want a presenter on Insurgent Radio telling me how great it is. There used to be a pro-white video on YouTube pointing out the sexual perversions in Family Guy, but YouTube removed it. The YouTube video showed how Jewish Family Guy promotes bestiality, pedophilia, homosexuality, etc. And that is coming from outside the United States. How about that? Well, I am going to play a clip right now that will dispel any notion that Family Guy or anything that is produced by Seth MacFarlane is anything other than wholesome family entertainment for you and your children. Play that tape.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, my God. Did you just talk?
I did.
Are you one of those frogs that'll turn into a prince if I kiss you?
Why don't you kiss me and see for yourself?
You're still a frog.
Yeah, you also have to reach one hand under me and lightly touch the underside of my penis.
What?
You have to reach one hand under...
No. I know what you said, but I've just never heard that part.
Well, you have now.
So I just lightly touch...
The underside of my penis, yeah.
Oh, okay. Nothing's happening.
What do you mean?
You're not turning into a prince.
I'm not a prince.
But you told me you were.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
I did not. You said I was, and I just didn't bother to correct you.
So, what are you?
I'm just a frog looking to get some wood, man, and mission accomplished. Thank you very much.
You're a sick pervert.
Yeah, well, I'm the one with the boner, so jackpot for me. You lose.
You're a bastard.
Well, take a hike, then. Hey there.
A frog prince. I'm supposed to kiss you, right?
No, actually, you're supposed to take a dump on my back.
I can't hire a crew of Latino gardeners.
Gerald, we have to hire somebody.
Okay, but we are not hiring any minorities to do our dirty work. That's racist. It's whites only at the Good House.
Now, how could you possibly get some kind of weird sexual perversion out of that? Some people, I swear. No, everybody. I think Family Guy's funny. But I think our contributor is a little bit too serious. And I asked him if he was always, serious all the time. I say sometimes, you just got to relax and have a joke and things are funny. You know, look, I'm sure it's Jews behind 85% of TV. You know, I don't have a statistic for that. I'm just throwing it out there. Come on. And, you know, we're not kids. You know, we're not some, impressionable child that's going to be corrupted. You know, I'm just telling you it's funny. You already know going into it that it is, a Jew thing. I don't know. I'm not wound up all the time. I think this stuff's funny. Tom, he says he's the bad boy to struggle, right? Well, apparently not. It's Lone Wolf DC because I get more complaints than I can shake a stick at. But that's okay, because I am committed to changing the status quo. And that's right, when you listen to the Lone Wolf DC show, you'll hear all kinds of different stuff. Here is what I replied to the gentleman. Yeah. Well, you have to take Family Guy in context. I'm completely in agreement that it's a Jew show. Fox is a Jew network. Personally, I can't be serious all the time. To me, funny is funny. I am not a little kid that's going to be corrupted by watching it. In fact, a recent episode with the character Quagmire tell off Brian, the dog, for being a degenerate liberal, fag lover, etc. In fact, it was great. If you would have seen it, you'd have loved it because it represented your position. Do you like Cartman on South Park for ragging on the Jews 24/7? I hope so. You aren't one of those guys that's always wound too tight, are you? Personally, I can't be obsessing with everything that's wrong with TV. I'd never get to enjoy anything. I'll bring it up on the show. I do appreciate your writing in. In fact, it's interesting. Compliments are rare, but people bitching is common. So so what have you done for your race today? I'm working hard on the newsletter and doing shows here and there. Please record an MP3 of yourself and email it to Tom. He'll put you on the show. Also, please send in a short article of anything of your choice. We'll put it in the newsletter, either Tom's or mine. I need you to show me how it's done. Yeah, I want you to lead by example, sir. I'll specifically mention you on the show to make sure you get a little article and your comments on MP3. I'll help you if you have any trouble getting your audio recorded. In fact, you can call on the hotline and say who you are, and Tom will put it on the air if getting yourself recorded becomes a problem. Let's see. I know if you guys put something in the tip jar, I'd talk about whatever you like.
Are you going to get bent out of shape when I side with the, okay, that's an unrelated thing that would give away some private information to that individual. There we go. So, I don't know. I think my little clips are funny. I don't know. I thought that previous clip was funny with the frog, but, you know, I guess I got some stick-in-the-mud listeners. How about that? But at the least, I had to play that because he said it had bestiality in it and sexual perversion and all that. And I figured that clip would hit all of those notes all at once. So, yeah. This is another funny one. It's too visual to play here. It's got a horse in a bar, and a white guy tells a black guy a joke. He says, "Hey, did you hear about the horse that went into a bar?" And then the horse interrupts him. Excuse me, that is racist, you know, because there's a horse sitting at a bar, and it's funny as hell. And he says, "No, it's not. It's just a joke, man. Have some sense of humor." He says, Oh, yeah? How about I tell a joke about black guys, you know, and it's funny. He gets all offended. And then, of course, the white guy and the black guy, "Hey, that's racist. That's over the line." Oh, yeah, see what I mean? So, I thought that was funny. Now, if you've been any kind of serious listener to my show, you'll realize that I absolutely love Asian thought. That's because it's so different from our own, and I always love seeing alternate views. I've got here Daily Meditations of the Tao. So let me throw out some neat little, not quite quotes for the day, but it's little pieces like poetry kind of thing. "Some look fierce but are mild. Some seem timid but are vicious. Look beyond appearances. Position yourself for the advantage." "Invisibility is the best advantage, but if forced to a confrontation, come out with all your skill. Chant 1,000,000 times for world peace, they told me. Pray 3 times a day to end all wars. Practice austerities to liberate all living beings. But the world's miseries have never diminished." Now here's the comment in my book on that. Periodically, some religious group proclaims that if everyone would just do something like chant, some fundamental social problem would be solved. Claims have been made that spiritual devotion could affect wars, famine, disease, the economy, and overpopulation. Only personal endeavors can be spiritual. What you do with your daily devotions is purely for your own sake. Once you put ideals on a grand scale, they are compromised by the contradictions of life. There is no utopia. There never will be. There is only the valiant attempt of each person to live spiritually in a world where spirituality is almost impossible. Interesting, I guess the message we can take from that, ladies and germs, is to create your own little racist utopia. You'll have your own one-man country, and there's lots of us spread out, and even if we sat there and prayed, we probably wouldn't change much. We have to have our own personal goals, and we have to personally work to achieve our goals, and no one's going to hand it to us. Can't wait for somebody else to do it. I say if you do your own thing, you'll do all right. They have another saying, "What is an archer without a target?" And it's to remind us that you have to have a goal. One must act. Actions, not words, are important. But mere movement is meaningless. One should have purpose. I couldn't agree more. And most listeners out there, I hear a lot of words, but I don't see a lot of movement. Unfortunately, that's the way it is for us. That's sad. "Plain country folk with rounded bodies, skin turning to bronze in the valley heat. Why talk to them about Tao? They eat when they are hungry. They sleep when they are sleepy. Even a sage with infinite permutations could not match their simplicity. Do you want to know about simplicity? Go live with farmers. Their daily activities are coordinated with the seasons. They are close to the earth, and they do not spend time figuring out how to attain social status. They are honest and plain. They make no distinction between who they are as individuals and who they are as farmers. Those of us who live in cities would be hard-pressed to enjoy the simplicity of a farmer. Simplicity, after all, is what the Tau most celebrates. Who needs to know all the digits of pi? Who needs an engineer? Who needs to engineer a new monetary policy? Who needs to strive for political office? None of these things is necessary to be a human being. Give up unnecessary things. Interesting. Gold dawn disc edges purple cliffs. Old woman bends to sweet temple steps. She bathes each stone with loving care. Magnificent temple. Its architecture was such a supreme expression of the human spirit that it was a treasure. Generations of worshippers had left offerings at the shrines. Hundreds of monks had reached enlightenment on the consecrated grounds, and thousands had been blessed in life and death in the most venerable halls. Yet my most moving observation was an old woman silently sweeping the steps. Her concentration was perfect. Her devotion was palpable. Her thoroughness was complete. Her uncelebrated act showed true holy spirit. Later in the day, wealthy people came to worship. Children with brightly colored toys ran over the gray stone. The abbot walked to his ceremonies. Monks passed in silent prayer. Of all those who passed, how many were aware of the saintly service that had made their own devotion possible? When the way is all we have to walk, those who prepare the way should be honored. Oh, and I just want to remind those of you who aren't quite familiar with Asian thought, every time you hear Tao, it really means the way. So let me just throw that out there. Writings about the way are purposefully obscure. Why? Because the writers cherish the way. The path is difficult to ensure worthiness. The lazy look elsewhere. The preserving find riches. There once was a calligrapher who said, "When the ordinary person likes my work, I shudder. If they find me obscure, then I am delighted." Writings about the way are not always easy to understand. Many times in the past, even monks, long in training, were still helpless to properly interpret the scripture. Some have, therefore, accused followers of the way of being coldly elitist. In fact, those who write about the way are obscure only because they cherish the way so much. They only want knowledge of the way to go to those who will appreciate it. They do not want to pollute the way by exposing it to the idle and curious. If everyone in the world could appreciate the way, then the knowledge of the way would be given freely. Actually, the masters have already babbled away all the secrets. In their compassionate determination to pass on their insight, they have worn themselves out trying to get their message across to us. The secrets of life are already written repeatedly in all the holy books. They are only secrets because we do not take the time to read. Can you see jewels in the mud? Be self-sufficient, but not isolated. When the King of China closed the borders, centuries of stagnation and decadence began. All the philosophy of the way is intended to lead to self-sufficiency. Whatever one needs to do in life, one should be able to do on one's own. Whether one is trapped in the wilderness, or whether one is dealing with a social gathering requiring etiquette and grace, one should be able to cope. Being self-sufficient is not the same as being isolated. This is a very important point. When the King of China closed the borders, the country was self-sufficient enough to enjoy isolation very well. But the entire nation withdrew into a magic contentment. An inbred society developed. Stagnation and decay set in. The same problems can arise in people who are so self-sufficient they fail to engage life fully. Either they will explode from the sheer weight of their own decadence and stagnation, or they will explode once the outside world confronts them with something they cannot comprehend. Those who follow the way roam the world. They may avail themselves of the temporary advantages of withdrawal and intense self-cultivation. But they do not become permanently isolated. They flow with the way, are with all things, and therefore avoid decadence. I know we should be able to have our own thing, be able to filter out some of the nonsense, but we cannot stagnate and listen only to our own material. We have to bring in new foreign ideas. Even if you disagree with them, you can't hold yourself in this little box and not let anything else in. That's what was wrong with Japan. That's what held it backwards for years. The emperor refused to allow anything in, and then when technology came in, These guys took off like gangbusters. Look at Sony. You know, these guys went from rejecting technology in general to putting out some quality high-tech gear. And look at their economy. It's great. This is the sort of thing I like to point out when people, like our guest, say there's nothing good with the Family Guy. Oh, there's good things all over the place. But we do have to pick and choose. You can't take it all carte blanche. You can't just take it all. But you've got to, you know, take out the little gems. There's gems everywhere. We've got to be willing to accept them regardless of their source. Some leaders use threats to win adherents. They invoke death to force good behavior and to herd people towards paradise. Others woo with grand promises. If you have no satisfaction, they offer bliss. If you feel inadequate, they offer success. If you are lonely, they offer acceptance. But if we do not fear death and are happy, what will such leaders have to offer? Spirituality is an organic part of daily life, not something dispensed by a professional. True spirituality is liberation, not just from the delusions of reality, but from the delusions of religion. If we attain freedom from the fear of death, a sound way of health, and a path of understanding through life, there is happiness and no need for false leaders. Guitar, chess, book, painting, sword. These symbolize classical skill. There was once a wanderer who cared nothing for fame. Although he had many chances for high positions, he continued to search for teachers who could help him master five things: the guitar, chess, book, painting, and the sword. The guitar gave him music which expressed the soul. The chess board cultivated strategy and a response to the actions of another. Books gave him an academic education. Painting was the exercise of beauty and sensitivity. The sword was a mean for health and defense. One day a little boy asked the wanderer what would he do if he lost his favorite five things. At first the wanderer was frightened, but soon he realized that his guitar could not play itself, the chessboard was nothing without players, a book needed a reader, a brush and ink could not move on their own, and a sword could not be unsheathed with out of hand. He realized that his cultivation was not merely for the acquisition of skills, it was the path to the inner of his being. Well, how about that, ladies and germs? I hope you have enjoyed some of these Asian selections. That's right, the Japanese learned much from the Chinese way back when. In fact, the old texts, you know, say that you have to have a Chinese education to be truly educated. The really high intellectual work was all written in Chinese. And I still think that to be truly educated, you should have some knowledge of Asian thought. And what was this guy? I can't remember his name, but an economist told me this. He said, people want to go over to Europe and see the world. He said, that's silly. There are more people in China than anywhere else. So if they want to see the rest of the world, they need to go to the Asian countries. And you know what? He's totally right. I am always interested in classical education, you know, to become a well-rounded individual. So that's why I like Chinese work so much. Well, Thesey, five words. I have nothing to say.
Close the door behind you. Were you walking in your sleep? This little birdie told me who was talking to a fly on the wall. So when you think nobody's looking, I'm the eye that passes by you. When you think nobody's listening, I'm the listener. I'm the resistor. I'm the guy that used to date your little sister. I'm the resistor. You can spin your little stories till nobody will believe you anymore. And you can plot your deadly schemes and say it isn't what it means. But let me tell you what it means. This means war.